Nihilist for nature. Take one. Let's cook. It's Tales from the Deep End. Finally talked myself into getting the self up and to the computer to do a bit of editing on the second volume of these here so-called poems, which I began at the top of 2013. I found myself repelled in the reading of these things, since 2013 was the worst mental year of my life so far. I tried my best to read the words with an objective eye toward the test of what could be included in a new, and for fuck's sake, finally, spoken word album to be recorded on the same gray rectangular cassette recorder that came from the onset of the cassette's invention in 1969, which was my first forays in life behind a microphone at, yes, 2 years old. I was just as chatty then as now. Still have those tapes, too. But in the reading of those words, I had to retreat to merely editing. Look at me now, a man who won't let himself be. A man who was genetically designed to touch a few people in a positive way and then close up shop and walk away into the non-world of non-existence. I found myself thinking as if another person, standing, perusing the poetry section of what few bookstores still exist, reading the first few pages of my little thin first book, thinking, fuck, this guy makes me want to submit to my own desire to off myself. And it's either of these two thoughts to follow. One, wow, let me find someone who's a bit more, not quite so much into full-on self-nihilism. Or, this is all really close to how I feel on a daily basis. Let me buy this book and see if he resolves it in an uplifting, positive manner, which I can carry with me as a badge of hope to just carry on. All hope is not gone, my friend. Not yet. Duct tape the river raft paddles to your hands if you need to. There's always another whitewater rapid around the bend. Did you bring your patch kit along? I'll take that. The last one. In America, there is a product that only someone with meat allergies, zero money, ever, or born without a mouth, has never consumed. Until last night. When America's last person finally did. Who? My Jenny. What? A Big Mac. Really? And I bought it for her. Her first ever. Guess I'm officially going to hell now. Another dumb nature poem. No matter how nasty, ugly, gloomy, dark in daylight, wet, rainy, sopping, flooded sidewalking due to poor design, the out-of-door a Cinco de Mayo clinic a day can possibly be, There's always one contingent of existence that always seems to think, every day is all nice and bright and shiny and comfortable. And that would be the fine, wet, matted, feathered pals of the sky. All the masses of sparrows who could easily eat more food per dollar than I alone could possibly pay for. The black-capped chickadees who are just as present year-round as are men and women in blue. Well, our mail carriers in blue, at least. And the rainbow array of finches. Not to mention the occasional brewers, blackbirds, and redwings who so awkwardly attempt and usually fail to perch where only the dinky flyers can. It's with all this viewed activity out the window that makes it just enough less undesirable for a falsely feathered biped to venture out under the rain to self-contain over four wheels, getting off to work too soon. Too soon. It's always too soon. $120 or another dumb nature poem, part two. Had to, on this cool but beauty Saturday morning, run to the bank 5 or so miles away for assorted things, and on the back road farm road shortcut, I saw on my right what appeared to be a family setting up a garage sale. Stuff all over the driveway, tables. I said, perhaps I'll stop by there on my trip back. Could be some vinyl records. So, on my way back, I came upon the same house, now on my left side, and saw no sign or anything denoting a garage sale or anything but a family get-together with camp chairs set up in the driveway where I first saw it. It. Coming toward me on the other side of the road, one of those farm equipment tractors that is very widely straddled, like a woman, or at that matter, a man who's been on a horseback since childhood. You've seen him, right? Super tall tires, and just enough room underneath the wheel frame for a small car to drive right the hell under it. You've seen them, right? And I'm telling you, for a barely split second, it crossed my mind, and my hands on the wheel did a very slight click to the left. I thought, I can do it. Yeah, right the hell under that bow-legged fucker. But then I saw the line of cars behind its slow ass and was forced to say, damn it, damn it, damn bit. Foiled again. The cutesy rodents. Feel lucky, squirrels and chipmunks. Feel very lucky of your genetics. You're the cutesy ones that humans allow. I mean, come on, if humans wanted you gone, you'd be gone. And then there was the passenger pigeon. Guess you can't really call them cute, but... And they did make dark clouds out of themselves, and still they must have been rather tasty to all those poorer folk who ate them up. Yeah, the passenger pigeon, now extinct, gone forever. And who made that happen? Only humans, yeah. The rich feeding the poor. Hey, they were free. Ah, that caring American spirit. And now, back to your usually cutesy program, already in progress right out a window near you. I'm just a normal, likable guy. It just seems and/or feels so normal to be morning sitting, watching out at whatever moves outside the window while scribbling away on a lined page. Seems this is my default state. It's when I'm most comfortable, when I'm most me, when I'm most free. And after a small patch of 2 years of cranial self-repression, or what the hell ever that was, resulting in writing very nay a word, it's an arm-raising and hand-waving burst of happiness to be writing between the lines yet one more morning alive, home. Compared to that old Tube song, "Home is where I lay my head," mine is where I crack the page and refuse one more day to be dead. Oh, slimy, rhymy, occasionally you help me out of the quicksand of a relatively broken mind. Thanks for the stick. Gay folks, B.D. Key. Just flipped the radio station to Stephanie Miller, the lefto radio broadcaster, who happens to have come out of the closet since I've been listening to her, made me think about something of which I had to question if I had ever posied about before, and it seems I haven't. Same-sex folks are the key, nature's key, to preserving the human race a few years longer than if not for them. See, they themselves cannot reproduce, and the unspoken, by most, fact is that human overpopulation is without a doubt our sure future demise. Plus many unwanted kids, due to the effects of overpopulation and the lack of control of the heteros to create such, will be given a happy and most likely more level-headed home with people willing to love the undesired. So, right-wing, possible closeted anti-gay men, lay off. Homosexuality is simply a fact that you cannot wish away. And don't give me that God hates fags bullshit, especially since your God is not a fact. Think about that. If in fact there are no actual gods, what does that leave you? Yep, a plain old bigot. And had being gay not be a fact, you silly hets would have had us all extinct a long damn time ago. Myopian future. It still boggles me, bird, that I'm writing 2015 on these pages, especially when I first wrote a journal date back in 1981. I couldn't even imagine where I may have been in 2015 back then. Hell, I do remember the furthest date ahead I could only fathom in those days was the year 2000. Like, wow, in 2000 I'll be 32. In reality, 2000 came, zipped right past my eyes, and is now long gone dust. And to think, in 2000, I was very unhappily and obviously mistakenly married. So I'm finding, right now, at this point in the future, I'm almost grateful that the year 2000 is as much of an unfocused past as it was way the hell back in 1981 looking forward. It's all becoming clear now. Fuck, I have no idea the merit of any of this shit, and I don't care. I had a good time writing it. Oh, okay, this will be fun to read. Litter Bowl Sitter. Rather than in public, I'm a litter bowl sitter. Yes, the guy that insists on not standing when I pee at home, and even in other folks' homes. This is all fine and well, but somewhere along the line, I found myself, in doing so, leaning to my left and often up-toeing my right foot. Sort of as if the action of a dog at the loo by the fire hydrant. I believe this habit began during my sad year in Milwaukee. Does anyone ever have a happy one in Milwaukee? That was the walk-up where the dinky, child-sized bowls began. With a small loo like that, it's a fact that a big man as me can barely fit all the exits in the tiny circle without crushing something. All that set aside, the actual sitting comes into question. As in, why? I once, in 1994, lived in a boarding house where us second floor guys were given a porcelain bowl of the color black. I didn't even know heads came in black. It was there where I learned just how splash-spready a standing man's pee can be dispersed from that height. Need I say, it's a profundity of pee splatter, making a disgusting mess for all to see and some poor other soul to have to eventually clean it all up. Which, sadly, was mostly me, you bastards. So, this brings us to where it's all at. I sit like a dog, but pee like a cat. Dogs just don't care of the mess they make. Cats are very concerned about their waste management cleanliness. Cats, by nature, desire to hide that particular scent to protect themselves from the predators who'd eat them. Dogs, right, don't give a shit when leaving one. So is it no wonder that by a view, I may appear to be a dog? But in the end, I'm a cat, damn it.
Meow.
Shit. This is going to be a hard one to read. It's not all right for you, baby blue. There's water on the wind. Put a fan on my face for drying. You'll see. To see you, thanks to the 40-year-old film of the Cousteaus, used by Crosby and Nash, I'm struck down into a feeling of pure helplessness for you. There, gliding, so seemingly happy, on top of your big blue whale mother's movements under the biggest, now once blue. How can this be? Such a great, graceful creature can be hunted and poisoned and killed by such a seemingly feeble critter, so much smaller that you could eat five or more humans in one singular open mouth gulp. How is it possible in nature that that little thing can be so astoundingly destructive to everything in the wake of death it leaves bubbling behind? The simplest answer, evolutionarily, is they cheat. They don't play by the natural law that governs and regulates a balance of all other living things, other than its self-appointed royalty over all the other living creatures. To watch you, baby blue, to hear that song you sang. It makes me wish something will come along that's much bigger and smarter than that of the feeble, sick creature of the land. Even if that thing is what the cancer of nature itself created, nature's big. Oops, sorry. For even if not a single peon of death remains after its own radiated snowstorm, plenty like you, baby blue, will survive and thrive, showing the laws of nature are a self-balancing system. Kind of have to quote Randy Newman in saying, "Let's drop the big one now to save the suffering of the better ones." I apologize on behalf of my entire species, for they know what they do, and do it anyway. I will proudly die for all of you if it means the end of torture by the feeble and unreasonable Homo sapien. The meek shall inherit the earth, then destroy it. Check your local holy book. We are the only species of creature that is determined to collectively commit suicide. And as long as some creature, any creatures, continue through that ugliness of humankind, I will die happy knowing that it will carry on. Love is coming. Just without us particular creatures. Another Monday go-round. As usual on Mondays, I go on my counterclockwise trip to two groceries. The first has the cheaper prices, but their fresh produce sucks to a past day level, blah, hence the second grocery. The ride commences. This time, on way Northwest Park Street, I see the mini lake on the right. Only a nice boardwalk separates it from the road. On it, on the little pier, the end of it, was a woman sitting yoga style in a baby blue windbreaker, staring out to the fine scene before her. I want her to put the car on the grass and walk down to say, "Hey, scoot over, I want to dig on this scene too." I drove on instead. As I neared Mineral Point Road, I spy in the left mirror a car that couldn't seem to decide to stay behind me or to steer into the left turn lane. I said out loud, "Make up your mind, Grandma." She did, into the turn lane. Then I see the reality. It wasn't only a grandpa. Instead, it was, as I watched Pappy turn left, I also saw that the vanity plate only said, "Fine." This alone was a full trip's worth of smiling gut laugh. But then, I stood in line of checkout number one, grocery number two. Too many folks already in the express lane. In front of me was a young lady, early 20s, bored flat chest, albeit a tall, cutesy one. Hey, I have a right to appreciate the art, endlessly different of the female form. Shh. Then I see it. Before her on the grocery trough is two big-ass watermelons. Her laughing and kind of chatting to the checkout lady was punctuated by her saying, "Have a great day." Then scooping up both watermelons to breast level, she bopped out the doors. Yes, yes, this actually happened. If you were a guy, you two may have had to restrain yourself from saying the equivalent of Leslie Nielsen's, "Nice, Beaver." Even the memory makes me laugh now, All three subjects seemed to be far more at ease with the world around my eyes and loft a vicarious soul smile to the guy who only wanted his ballpark cheese franks and a couple of cans of soup. You never know when total strangers can turn a black day to sky blue. It helps if you look up and around now and then. Fuck, I gotta find some more not sad poems. Sad. Oh, yeah, this is sad. Imagine this. You are a duck, either male or female, your choice. And you are waddling along the soaking wet sidewalk outside my window, venturing away from the safety of the group on a foggy morning, hoping to find a scrap of something worthwhile to eat. Then, all you find is pieces of human garbage, cigarette butts, and sidewalk water soaked in car exhaust filtered through snow. Sad. As for me, I'm surprised animals in general have yet to evolve the capacity for suicide just to get away from us and our disgusting primate ways. Or the ability to collectively rise up and work on eliminating as many high primates as possible by brute force if necessary. That'd make a really good movie. Wake these careless fuckos up a bit. I'm sure it wouldn't, but you never know. Can't hurt the dream, right? The longevity pill. Any laugh is a good laugh. And if no one anywhere around you can make you laugh, well then, make yourself laugh. Seriously. Self-talk levity is the fountain of youth. Don't matter how dumb you look. It's about how sane you are. Monday, September 23rd, 2013. This is the way it goes down. You make the short drive, you pull the needed gear, backpack, polar bear bag with extra flannel and jacket since it's always 5 or 10 degrees colder on the shore of the big lake. You grab the strap of the folding chair and lock up the truck doors. Then comes the 100 or so yard walk, the soft tree back trail under your feet, the high canopy of assorted trees, then shade as you enter the tree's corridor. You reach the destination of the human and dogless pet swim area of Governor Nelson State Park and begin to park yourself. Unfold the chair, prop up the backpack, pull out the blue and white Coleman bottle filled with iced tea, just slightly spiked for a good measure. Fold the bags neatly and settle into the chair, calmly listening to the lake waves splash. Get up and go for a small wander to the small wooden pier the dogs jump from, back behind the chair where an outward-looking picture is taken with a cell phone to loan a moment of wallpaper peace to the future. Then shed a moment of gratitude to the magical backpack of all things since it produced a butterfly clip to hold the writing pages down against the breeze off Lake Mendota. Soon after a long sit, the magic of this place will settle on and in. Today, the pieces come easy. Other times, it can take hours. Waiting for the ease down, the settling of stress, the alleviation of being, to float in a sense above the ground. No pain, no dismay, no worried. No strain, no anger or strife. Just a full self-sense of well-being. Today, the peace has come easy. A half hour. Not bad. It seems the strong breeze is bringing it on, in the way it pushes the water, in the way it creates the constant hiss as it passes all around the leaves of the trees, as it slightly stings the exposed skin. Let it be so. Upon a wander, it's found that it warms up the further from the water one is welcomed. But on that wander around the perimeter of the area, it was found the small inlet that empties into the lake is now full of water where it was bone dry in the last go-round here. That inlet, where the photograph was taken that looked like a face, it hangs on my wall. All the times before, under more adventurous days, the surrounding woods were surveyed for cool things. The ever-present outhouse that cannot be smelled today, thanks to the southern wind. The trail on the left side over the big fallen tree, which leads to the rich person's house. All the wanderings done here, all those years ago now. And the most obvious missing artifact, the fire ring, where even in winter 13 years back a fire was started and kept warm by and savored and native danced around and hot dog on a sticked and most of all savored. It is missed. If you have the knowledge, you can stand exactly where it used to be in the small patch of rocks and stones that's still here. To feel the heat of the face, it can never hurt to wander about under the canopy of trees and find a hole to the sky, a hole to the sun. Then stand with the beam through the hole, looking straight out around you, watching as the sun plays sparkle games on your eyelashes, as the heat wavers by the movement of the leaves around the hole. It's a special little thing where the spotlight is on you and nature. Unabashed is your audience, and the only performance necessary is to be at peace with it all. To feel the heat of the face. A lone dogless woman wanders in with a small talking child in her arms. The only words to be heard over the waves and wind in the ears was, "Yes, the man is writing, honey." So far away across the lake lay the state capitol building. From way out here it seems so regal, so strong against the wind. But knowing the city and the tricky labyrinth the street design must adhere to when building a city on an isthmus, it is known the hustle and bustle of cars and pedestrians all making their way to where they need to be at what certain time, and then there's the distant observer. The movement around the Capitol building imperceptible, non-existent as far as the observer is concerned. And the observer likes it that way, as a motorboat crosses the scene. It seems the time has come to move on. The eye can only take so much cold wind, the fingers the same. Lake Mendota, I consider you a friend who's aided a being through bad times and good times, who's brought innumerable hours of solace, piles of enjoyment and smiles while watching brave dogs. A fair amount of time of good conversation with strangers, a catalog of good photographs, the inspiration to carry on living, and most of all, above and beyond, the peace. The 4th of July, 2015. 11:23 a.m. Got front row center to the pond. It a touch shy of a brown-green mirror. a brave chipmunk scouring the cement, cheek stashing all the overflow food from the recent filling of the feeders. Only a male-female couple of house sparrows come round to chow. All the others temporarily split the scene for other feeders that actually have food in them after two or so days of the lazy monkey's emptiness. New unknown vocalization quantity bird voice beckons unseen in the bushes. Same chipmunk now under feeders with amazingly protruded Dizzy Gillespie cheeks. The gang family of 13 Canada geese, one by one, leap wings out off the far shore into the water, all 11 kids now indistinguishable from their parents. Different bird voices as far as the ear can hear. Canopies being set up, grills being prepared, not a soul swimming in the cold pool. Thankfully, it's not gotten warm enough to heat it up. Or not. Climate change seems real, but not so in the upper Midwest. And where is the great blue heron? Just lit smell of charcoal lifts the olfactory's nose up. Ducks laugh. All green leaves slightly sway. Not a crack bame boom to be heard. That'll have to wait till dusk, when we'll walk across the road to the big lake's edge to experience the pros doing the big boom job. The paddle boat tide gently taps on the support beam of the new pier. Hey, Cardinal, I hear ya. Telling me it's time to go buy a pack of Grolsch and some steakhouse potato salad to go with the corn dogs. The sun has cleared the roof's shadow. It's time I should be going for now. Boom, boom. 5:41 p.m. Weather could not be more perfect today. Yay! Animals, including humans, everywhere the eyes can see. The scent of burgers grilling is a lot like the smell of wood smoke from a wintry chimney. Hits the same spot in the brain.
Fire good. Hell yeah, cheeseburgers from grill good.
Six oh seven p.m. All the liquid in the pond, the ocean all around me. Take a deep breath as it flows up around my head. Gotta find the rope out or else I'll be... I look up and around and think, yep, nothing much has changed in the last 30 years beyond the height of the full green trees. Good thing it's not too windy. Like a simile. Remember that 30 more down the line. 6:31 p.m. Therein flies the heron, perhaps spearing fish on the east side of the pond, out of sight. Northbound was he, she? The grill smoke has cleared and all that hits the nose is Mama Earth. Rich, soothing, sexy green, like nothing the universe has ever seen. Far as us primates know yet anyway, and that's, well, okay. It's always better to awe at the unknown than to gullibility. Righto. And O is for Orcapus. Picture that quitter a twitter in the water. Orcapus. Northwest corner of Lake Mendota, 8:47 p.m. and a motorboat makes the lone sound on the water. Stray mortar launchers put up some fine booms of colors and wallop over the far tree line, reflecting. Neighbors on the grass here are in for a good show. Ducks pass in the now black and white movie of the big lake. Pa-pow! Times five. What to our ear is a live band to the right a quarter mile down the shoreline. At first, we thought someone was just playing music real loud. Nope. the dynamic of the drums gave them away as a live band. Nice. No light to write now. And then, 9:09 a.m. And now under the sun-lit-up trees on the 5th of July, the head is still slightly booming. Residual echoes carry on far past the actual events. I had said to Jenny on the walk back from the lake, I wonder what it would look like seeing a bottle rocket shot into the depths of a tree. Her, being her, flagged up her protest against it, citing starting a tree fire or harming a sleeping squirrel. Okay, good point. Never mind. It still looked pretty cool, I bet. The lasting most echo of the night was the bottle rocket that come unglued from its stick when I lit it. Instead of going straight up, came hissing toward my head and landed up in the tree to do its job of going pow. I accidentally got my wish via a very near damaging accident. I quickly dodged that sparkling bullet, and I believe zero squirrels were harmed in the writing of this poem. In the end, that was one of our most dazzling collective 4ths of July. Pow! Alright, well, that's the inside one of the tape. I gotta hurry up. Oh, I don't know if I said this title. Yet another man living a life of quiet desperation. Awoke to a very prominent song playing on the internal stereo. Getting Better from Sgt. Pepper. And I accidentally assumed the song would give a sliver of hope, so I put it on. The whole album, actually. When cut 4 began and played, I was quite surprised that instead of hope, it had the opposite effect. He breaks down. I'm living a seemingly constant dichotomy, which I cannot seem to resolve. Why is it that the usual things, such as great songs, positive animal videos, inspiring human ones too, which should make me feel joy, cause me, instead, to be saddened? At the same time, the bad things, humans torturing animals, the run-of-the-mill human carelessness, especially the destruction the corporate imperial class is doing, which cannot do anything but deconstruct the country I grew up in and thought I knew. Again, the good things people can do, it all makes me sad. Is this normal? Don't feel like it should be, but 'tis so. The human failure horror of history is obvious, since I'm a second generation hippie who never gave up the ideal. But the positive things, should those things not pass on joy? You'd think so, but alas, no. This is my largest unsolvable puzzle. Could it be guilt? Since I am an advocate of the positive, but don't really do much shit to contribute to the positive, peaceful existence of all human and animal kind. All I really wanted to do with my life was to make a difference for humankind, since at an early age I saw that it was certainly needing a cheerleader toward that goal. I don't feel like I've contributed a thing. Could this be an element that puts me in such a losing position, leading from way behind? Probably so, methinks. Just like the fact that I cannot find a way to put a positive spin at the end of this here poem, as I'm supposed to do. Well, I'll be go to hell. as my pop always said, under rather unexpected situations.